Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games are right here.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
To our mates at King G, welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Nice to be with you. Just now, 3 o'clock kickoff. Rabbitohs taking on the Warriors. You will hear it all here, and you'll hear the voice of Mr. Peter Stirling, who joins James Graham Reedy. My name is Tony Squires Stirling. G'day.
Afternoon, Tony, gentlemen, and listeners. I do have a bit of a gripe. When I first signed on to do this gig, you know that it was under the impression that it was an Everton free zone.
Yes. Yes. Suddenly.
Yes. And that seems to have gone out the window.
Hey, we're building bridges now, mate, with Rafa. Building bridges.
No bridges to be built. I'm sorry. You know the.
Yeah. We haven't even talked Euro with you. We probably won't. That's too cruel for you, James Graham. Now, we were talking with Reedy earlier, and he was slated to go to these games in Tokyo. Have you?
What event? You,
athletics and beach volleyball, Stirling.
Right, you're in the high jump, were you?
Yes.
Yeah. Especially, yeah. Working.
No, working, yeah. Not
sorry.
Competing,
oh,
no.
Sorry.
No, please.
Sydney aside, Stirling, have you had that pleasure of going to an Olympic Games?
Greatest experience of my life, Tony. 92 in Barcelona. If you look closely, the arrow goes straight over my head into the quadrant. I sat underneath.
Really?
Its course. A very unusual situation. My partner at the time was in the Hockey Roos. Which was played at Terrassa, which is about half an hour out of Barcelona. And I had a very good relationship with the team, the coach, Brian Glencross. And I would go out and watch the game. And then, I don't know if it was against the rules, I imagine it probably was, that they would allow me to travel back on the bus with the team. And then when you got back to the Olympic Village, they would allow me out and I would go back to my hotel and they would go in. This one night, the driver was a different one and he wouldn't break the rules to allow me off before we went into the Olympic Village. So I was taken. I had to break out of the Olympic Village, which was very unusual. Wow. They were always trying to stop people going in. I had to go out. But just magnificent. And the Olympic Village itself, it's the most amazing place because you see every type of individual and build and size. You've got the gymnasts who are tiny, and then you've got the basketballers who are 8'6" and everything in between. And it was amazing.
Did they have there in the Athletes Village the same as they've got apparently in Tokyo, the anti-sex cardboard beds? Did you notice?
Never got an opportunity to find out, Tony.
Did you see the Irish athlete who
yes, who debunked
so to that
speak.
Theory, yeah.
Yeah.
He jumped on the bed, just kept jumping up and down. Yeah.
Which is not my idea of sex, but anyway, not sure how that debunked it at all, really. All right, let's turn to some rugby league. There's a few things I want to pick your brain about. Earlier, James Graham was very forthright about the World Cup and the decision of the Australian and New Zealand to not send teams to this World Cup. Now, it was cited being COVID. There was also, it seems, some of it is about the logistics of what that means for the competition. It could have been about clubs as well. What do you make of it?
Yeah, look, I can understand the decision, but I'm a little bit like James. If I was a player, I would like the opportunity to make that choice as if I wanted to go. And I have no doubt, again, we would field an extremely strong side capable of winning the World Cup of players who'd be keen to go over there. I was thinking, would I feel differently if I was 30 years old compared to if I was 20? I would definitely want to go, and I don't know. Give me a chance to play in the north of England in a competition like that. I'm putting my hand up, knowing that the protocols would be in place, knowing that I'd be looked after as well, possibly could be the case, although there might be some danger of some exposure type thing. I'd be prepared to make the trip over there to represent.
Because, James, you've always been an advocate of giving the athlete the decision about their own well-being. And sometimes I've disagreed with you, in terms around concussion and so on. But so you still believe that is a crucial thing?
Oh, look, I believe in that freedom of choice. Obviously, I did explain that, my thoughts around concussion was me sort of portraying an image and being the person who I thought I needed to be, and having that reputation around that. But in terms of the World Cup, the evidence is pretty clear that, I think, it, like I said before, over 75% of the players who are eligible to play for New Zealand and Australia have said they would have committed to going. And, you know, then we know the influence of players having on other players. Okay, well, you know, if you're James Tedesco and he says he's going, then does Victor Radley go, oh, yeah, go on, then I'll go as well. So, you know, I think it's a shame that the players aren't being listened to on this. It's what they want. And, you know, like I said before, I don't believe it to be a COVID issue. The fact that worldwide sporting events are happening involving way bigger logistic challenges than the World Cup. England have already hosted the European Championships, like you mentioned before, that yep. They've shown they've got the capability to do that. So I don't believe this to be a strictly COVID issue. I believe it is an NRL and club decision not wanting International Rugby League to go ahead because there's no benefit financially for them. We spoke about it earlier. They managed to get Origin on. They found a way to get Origin on. Why? Because there's a windfall for the clubs and for the NRL, where I don't feel that's the case for the international game and the NRL and the clubs.
What he said.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Works for me.
Does it go ahead without those two women? They're the top of the ladder there.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they're at a stage now where it would be even harder to call it off when they've got how many nations are there? 16 or 18 yep. that are involved, and obviously only the two that have said no. So I don't know. Obviously, it's I hate to use the term, but it's a Mickey Mouse tournament if you don't have the one and two seeds there.
Yep. Right, Sterling, your team they got beaten, but I thought they were perhaps better in this game on Thursday night than they were in the second half of the team of the game they won last week, but. A nil-all at halftime is a beautiful scoreline, isn't it?
Well, no, not really. if you're sick and tired of blowout scores, absolutely. Yeah. This is the last weekend I'm going to say it because I've been saying it for forever, it seems, when it comes to Parramatta. Let me preface it by saying that I don't think there's any team in the competition whose individuals work harder and play tougher than the Parramatta players. I think that the courage and bravery that they show is as good as any team in the competition. I just think that they have to play smarter. You just can't play with your body. And my complaint always is that I don't think you seek the collision when you've got the football. I think when you're defensively, you seek that. Yes, you do. But with the football, you would try to avoid the collision. And Parramatta the other night, the amount of times that they were bringing the ball back one out and getting hit by three Canberra defenders, it looks spectacular. It's brave. It's courageous. But the bottom line is that it's counterproductive. You end up with getting driven back a metre or two. It's a slow play of the ball. Slow play of the ball on 1-2-3 means that 4-5-6 look pretty ordinary. The amount of times that Parramatta passed the football in their own half outside of a dummy half pass, you could count on one hand. You've got to make the defence work harder because, again, if you're expelling all this energy and bringing the ball back and running into a brick wall, when you haven't got the football, the fatigue factor is even greater on you being able to do the job defensively. So you've got to run for holes. You've got to run for smaller people. You've got to try and get a quick play the ball on 1, 2, and 3 so that 4, 5, and 6 do look better and you get in a good kicking position. And I just think that we didn't play enough football, coming out of our own half especially. If you look at the good sides, they will move the opposition defence around. You don't have to take outlandish chances in moving the ball. You go one or two passes wide, all of a sudden you're running at edge defenders where you can get between defenders and you can land on your front and you can get a quick play of the ball. And I just don't see enough of that from Parramatta. I think we do it the wrong way around. I think we spoke about in commentary a couple of weeks on television. Parramatta sort of got it around the wrong way. They don't pass the ball in their own half. They pass a lot, maybe too much, in the other half where they're going from side to side and that becomes predictable. Turn it around. Throw some passes in your own half and then play through the middle or on the edges off Junior Paulo and those kind of players when you're down in the attacking zone. So the effort that the side put in is fantastic, but I just think that it can't just be about completion rates. You know, if you're not making the opposition work and giving them a difficult time because you're getting some momentum and a roll on, then it doesn't matter if you're 10 from 10, if you're not hurting the opposition with what you're doing in those 10.
Steeler, how much do you think they missed Mitchell Moses last night? Obviously, the game against the Titans the week before, it looked like they didn't miss him whatsoever. Reed Marnie had a wow of a game against the Titans, and it looked for all money that the Parramatta were going to not really suffer too much of a loss with him out with a, I think it's a fracture in his in his back. How much did they miss him last night, do you think?
I've been critical the way that I just spoke then when Mitchell has been in the side, because he's a part of that, you know, that mentality of a ball under the arm and bringing it out. But certainly that they miss him. They missed his kicking game. I've got no doubt about that. And they miss the fact that he is such an explosive runner. But to me, it's about the approach. It's not necessarily the individuals who are there. I think young Jacob Arthur is an outstanding young player and he's a very steady player. I'd still have Will Smith in the team this week if Mitchell Moses is unavailable, because he does play more footy. And it's really difficult for me to be critical of a side that is trying so hard. I just would just like to see that effort directed a little bit differently, and I think they could be a much tougher proposition to play against, and will need to be when you look at this next 6 weeks going into finals football.
Yeah, they play the top six minus themselves.
Yeah, outside of the Cowboys, everyone else is a top six side.
So they've got a final series into a final series.
Yeah, and next week, the Roosters, you know, it may well be a battle for a top four position, even though our differential is so good. That can change fairly quickly with the sides that they're playing against. So I don't want to be critical of the side, and I think that the effort is just magnificent, but I just think that they could make it easier for themselves. And I want to also say I've never coached. So that's from somebody who's never coached. I've never had to go through all of that, and I'm not knocking the coach. I'm just thinking, as a fan sitting there, I just think we could be a little bit smarter with the way that we play.
Don't sell yourself short, kid. You've played a few. It's okay.
It's been a long time ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Steve has called us on 133353. I think he has a question. G'day, Steve.
Hey, guys. How are you going?
Yeah, cool.
Hey, my thoughts were, why not have a rebel tour? All those guys that turn around and say that they are willing to go. And if the players really want to play for Australia, and like I played for New South Wales in four sports, I'd bust my balls to play for Australia. If I wanted to play for Australia, I'd make it known and then put the pick back on the NRL. And this way the players might actually have enough of a voice to overturn this decision. If not, they can turn around and go, okay, let's have a rebel tour, an unofficial, a Prime Minister's 11, a Sturlo's 11, an MG 13.
No, James is taking a tour away. He's
exactly.
And James, I love, mate, being a Canterbury supporter. I grew up, my aunt went to school with Peter Moore. Thank you for everything you did wearing our jersey. And I hope these new guys coming in watch some clips of you and the passion and how you played.
Thanks, mate. It was my pleasure. It really was.
Yep. Rudy, rebel tour.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure you could do it. Look, I think what's really important here is the Players Association needs to lead the way. I mean, if players want to go, you know, we saw the Players Association put a statement out yesterday, but, you know, I think the NRL was pretty disappointed with that statement, because I think what they've been told internally was different to what the Players Union said.
So the Players Association through Clint Newton have said that it was premature.
It was premature. So, I mean, if they really want to change it, if the players want to go, they need to get the Players Union involved.
Contractually, they're not in a position to.
Well, contractually, they've got to go. They've got to be freed still.
Yeah,
the clubs can't stop them.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. So the issue is the ARL Commission selects the Australian team and mandates the Australian team. So if they're saying no.
To the caller's point about a rebel tour, I believe that the clubs could potentially stop that. Because you've got to release them to play for their country.
Yeah.
But if there's some rebel tour, and you know, I appreciate it, and I think it's a great idea. But when you come to things like insurances and liability in terms of picking up an injury,
or
if the worst thing was to happen and someone gets COVID and issues getting them back, you know, all these things that are accounted for in the sort of, you know, what's been put in terms of the biosecurity. Biosecurity things put in place by the organisers of the World Cup that would have been answered, it might be different for let's say a rebel style team to take part in that.
James, I can't remember. I seem to remember that during your career you were involved with the Players Union, were you not, at different times?
A little bit.
Surely it's beholden on them to take up the cause now if players want to go. They've got to fight hard. You know, too often they just capitulate the players' union, but they can make a stand here. They can make a difference. If players generally want to be involved in this, and you know, you talk about that survey result, well, you know what? That's what the union's for.
Well, it is, yeah. And no doubt Clint Newton is dealing with a lot of issues at the moment in terms of the relocation, the family's relocation. He's working, and as well as a lot of other people at the RLPA, are working round the clock at the moment. There's been lots of battles at this year with the NRL. It seems like, you know, this the high tackle crackdown, there was lots of issues around that. It seems like there's a lot of players versus the NRL, players versus the governing body. But if the play, like you say, mate, if the players really want to go, like, let's get organised within the RLPA. And it's going to need to be soon as well. We are time poor with this. It's less than 100 days that England are supposed to be taking on Samoa at St James's Park.
Yeah,
less than 100 days, you've got to get over there. You've got to get all these training programs put together. You know, you can't just turn it on and turn it off. It needs to be done quickly. So I'm hopeful that that Clint Newton and the rest of the team at the RLPA, they're all together in Queensland pretty much. Like, let's get them together and say, do you really want to go? Because we can fight this, but we're going to have to be super quick.
And it has to be done the right way, Tony. Rebel tours in any sport really haven't got a great history.
No, they haven't. No.
But it's pretty simple. Don't you just get Daly Cherry Evans, James Tedesco, who's the Kiwi captain these days? Roger?
Roger.
Get him on a phone hookup and work out a plan.
Yep.
No, and you know, if you really want to go, you can make it happen.
All right. Watch this space. And it is time, ladies and gentlemen, for this.
Believe it or not.
Reedy, believe it or not, there's a guest host of this segment today.
And I'd like to apologise, so I didn't have time during the week to come up with a new little jingle there, because it's not called Believe It or Not anymore.
What is it called?
I've simplified it. It's called Yes or No. Okay? Which is all this segment has ever needed. That's all it has ever needed.
Okay.
Can't tinker with
it. So the first one is...
Well, wait a minute. Are you going to explain what the situation is to James as a new player?
James?
Yeah.
Not even an English front rower is going to have a problem with this.
I do like a simplified approach, mate. I appreciate you bringing that in for me being a guest on the show.
I'm going to give you a topic. Your answer is either going to be a yes or a no, but for the sake of keeping the people at home a little bit interested, you need to expand on why it's yes or why it's no.
Mixed messages now.
No mixed messages. The Bulldogs are a top eight team next year. Reedy.
I don't believe it still.
No. You fell at the first hurdle.
No. Oh, you know what? No. Oh, yes. No. No, I don't think they are, no. I think they're another year away.
Why did I even go to you first?
I think they're another year away. I think they'll be a lot better next year. They'll be competing for the eight, but I think they'll just miss out. Year after, they'll be in the mix.
Well done. Clear as mud. James, yes or no, Bulldogs, top eight team next year?
Look, as hard as it is for me to say this, I'm going to say no. I think it's too big a jump to go from the bottom of the ladder into the top eight. No doubt they've signed well. I think we'll see a lot of improvement from them. But at the moment, they've still got to gel as a team. They've still got questions to be answered. And yeah, I think, like Reedy said, I think they'll be better, but probably not in the eight.
Tony, I don't think you care. What's your answer? Yes.
I'm saying yes. And I'm saying Gus Gould is coming in with the 1 year plan. and it's to get them to the eight, and they'll do it.
Okay. Wow. Now, based on a conversation that we had only moments ago, the topic of this one is you can win the competition outside of the top four this year. James Graham.
I'm going to go. I didn't say you could.
I'm going to change it. It is better this year to finish fifth or sixth than third or fourth.
Yes. But I've felt that every year. And here's why. So especially fifth. So if you fifth and fourth, so if you're fourth, you play first away. Obviously it's different this year. The likelihood is you're going to struggle.
Yep.
If you're fifth, you play eighth. You should be. If you don't beat eighth, you shouldn't be there. And then you play a team coming off a loss, where if you finish fourth and then you lose against first, all that pressure's on you. So I think you the odds are better in your favour
to go through 2 weeks
to play to win four games rather than an opportunity. So if you finish fourth, you have an opportunity to play only three games, but the likelihood is you lose the first
Stella,
one.
Stella, you've cured this segment, Stella.
I had to ask, because the beauty here is that he's put forward this amazing argument about finishing fifth or sixth, and that's the same every year. No team outside the top four has ever won.
No, exactly. No, but you're in a better position to give yourself a chance to win it.
Yeah. This is a theory very much like communism. It's a good idea, but it never works.
No, it's not a good idea. It's never a good idea. That's different.
All right, one more.
Yeah, you're doing really well, though.
And we'll keep it short and sweet.
Really well.
Joey Manu is the next $1 million player. Tony.
Well, the two different questions. Is he the next? Does he deserve to be? I think he probably does deserve to be a $1 million player. I think he's playing brilliant football for the Roosters.
Such he is.
Yes, yes.
Wasn't that hard?
Yeah. Well, it's whether he's going to get it is the question.
I think he'll get offered $1 million, but probably not by the Roosters. And I think in the end he'll probably stay at the Roosters. So I don't think he will. No, some answer's no. He won't. He'll get the offer, but he won't take it, and he'll stay at the Roosters. So he's probably going to be an $800,000-$900,000 player.
I think he'd have to leave to get it, similar to Reedy. But I do like the way he plays, and I think we're going to see more of that style of where a traditional centre doesn't stay out on one side. We're going to see him. I remember speaking to Trent Robinson a couple of weeks ago after Tommy Torojevic had his great game in Origin 1, where he was seen roving around the middle of the field. I think we might see it with a guy like Joey Manu, who doesn't need to be stuck on an edge for the whole game waiting for the ball to come to him. He's going to be one of those players that's going to be given a license to roam and attack, and especially the way the game is going and evolving, I think we're going to see more that style of attacking style play, which will bump up his asking price. And he could probably play fullback at least three quarters of the teams in the NRL right now.
Alright, final question, and this is a yes or no answer. The segment this week has been vastly better than any other weeks.
No.
Well, I've
you're a yes. So I've answered
better and worse. I've got nothing to compare it to.
No, there's no awards in Morpeth for that segment.
Yeah. I have to say that yes or no is just as confusing as believe it or not.
Reedy's mail.
All right, what have we got on the great man, Dale Finucane?
Yeah, well, let's start with Dale. Look, Dale had a meeting with his manager on Friday. There's a new club in for Dale now. He had six clubs in for him. The West Tigers have now come in for Dale Finucane as well. So the Newcastle dropped out when they signed Dan Gagai. The West Tigers have come in. He's still got six clubs circling him, Dale. The Tigers obviously had an interest in Tevita Pangai. They've been in constant contact with Dale Finucane's management. When they missed out in Pangai, they firmed up their interest in Dale Finucane. So in a meeting with his manager on Friday, they sat down, went through the offers. I'd expect a decision from Dale, if not over the week, and then early next week. And there'll obviously be one delighted club and five disappointed ones.
Where's your money on?
Well, my money's on Cronulla at the moment. I suspect they're probably the front runners. He's got a good relationship with Craig Fitzgibbon. They spoke to him in State of Origin camp. His manager, Andrew Purcell, has already sent Nico Hines to Cronulla. I think Cronulla's put a pretty competitive offer on the table. His management's wanted the three. He's got a lot of three-year deals. His management's pushed to get a four-year deal. I don't think Cronulla's going to push the boat out that far, but my sense is that Cronulla are the front runners at the moment to get Dale Finucane. So a decision, as I said, in the next 24, 48 hours.
Really, if he goes to Cronulla, is he going to play front row? Because obviously they signed Cameron McGuinness with a view, you know, knowing Cam personally, he's saying he's going there to play lock, to play 13. Yeah. So it would be, if you're going to bring Dale in, either Cameron would go to hooker, which would mean Brayley like missing out, which they're not going to do. So I can only assume, you know, Dale would then be wearing the 8 or the 10 season.
I think that's the way it's heading, James. I'm with you. I think Cam McInnes is obviously there. He started working out with them now to recover from the ACL injury.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So, you know, that's what I foresee. He'll play obviously a role in the middle, but probably in the front row, yeah.
How far would Melbourne be from being able to retain him?
Oh, I think out of the six, they'd be running fifth or sixth at the moment still. They just don't have the money in their salary cap, and they've known that from day one.
Because he'd take unders to stay there, I would imagine.
Well, he would, but they're so tight, they're in the process of re-signing Ryan Papenhuyzen, which is going to cost them a fortune because Ryan's up in for a significant upgrade. Harry Grant, they're trying to extend him out. They still want to keep Brandon Smith if they can. So money's really tight down there. Okay. And look, they've made an offer to Dale, but I think they're realistic enough to know that they're a long way off the money in terms of what he's been offered elsewhere. And the Knights, I believe the Knights sort of dropped out when they signed Dan Gagai Friday, and they've now stepped up their attempt to sign re-sign Connor Watson. They got a meeting with Connor Watson this week. Connor Watson publicly has said that their first offer to him wasn't up to scratch. He went out and started ringing clubs himself. But the club's got a meeting with him this week, and they're pretty confident they've got a deal done with Connor Watson, and they're about to re-sign Lachlan Fitzgibbon for another 2 years, the Knights. So Dane Gagai and those two guys as well, they're going pretty good at the moment, the Knights.
Is Xavier Coates going anywhere before the end of the season?
Well, I mean, it's an interesting one, Xavier, because the Storm actually rang Brisbane about a week ago, and they'd heard some whispers that Xavier Coates wasn't going to get another game in Brisbane because he's obviously made the decision to go to the Storm next year. They contacted Brisbane. Brisbane made some discreet inquiries. Brisbane said, we won't let him go. And the head of football, Benny Eichen, actually contacted the Storm yesterday and said to them, look, the rumours aren't right. Xavier Coates is still a chance of selection in Brisbane. And at the moment, we're not going to let him go this year. It won't be happening. We want to keep him here for the rest of the year. So I think we can put a line through Xavier Coates getting an early release to go to the Storm, but he's obviously going there next year.
All right. There was some talk, obviously, when Jai Arrow had his trouble and was fined and misses out on State of Origin 3.
Yep.
Is there further ramifications?
Yeah, there's a board meeting Friday in Queensland. The Queensland Rugby League's meeting actually on Friday, and they'll make a decision on Friday whether they take any action against Jai Arrow. I would expect he will be banned for next year's State of Origin series by the Queensland Rugby League. And I reckon the New South Wales Rugby League will do the same thing with Api Korosau. I think he'll get a ban, if not for the entire series, at least a game or two. But I imagine both those guys, the Queensland and New South Wales Rugby Leagues, will put a line through them for next year.
Over beer? Well, Canadian Club wants to stock your fridge. The next big thing.
All right, we're creeping up to kickoff 3 o'clock. Rabbitohs taking on the Warriors. Sterlo, do you have a next big thing out of that game this afternoon?
Yeah, I've taken it literally. I've gone two next big things.
Okay.
And they're two young men starting in game two, the Eagles up against the Tigers. Oh, yep. Somali Olakau'atu and Stefano Oitokomanu out there. Two outstanding young players. The back row for the Seagulls has been a revelation this year. And, you know, he's taken them from a side that and wasn't going to play finals football to a possible top four, top five finish. Oitokomanu was really good last week, involved in setting up a try with an offload and scored one himself, was brought into the New South Wales Origin squad this year. So you can see that certainly the powers that be feel as though he's got a very strong future. But, yeah, two young behemoths this afternoon in action against each other.
Love it. All right, James?
Looking forward to this weekend. It's the Dragons coming up against the Gold Coast Titans and one matchup on an edge. I believe Jack Baird might be going up against David Fifita, two competitive individuals. Jack Baird loves the challenge. He's going to have his hands full there if he's on the same side as Fifita, who we all know can be, you know, on another planet when he's on. He scores some tries that you'd see at the under eights. If we weren't in lockdown, you'd be watching young kids that are bigger than others and cause their carnage, just like David Fifita does. But yeah, Jack Baird, he's got a lot on his hands, but I'm looking forward to seeing those two go up against each other.
Beautiful, really.
I'm going to go for the game that's about to come on. Matt Lodge. I think he played 80 minutes last week, Matt Lodge. Unbelievable performance. And I think the Warriors a chance of upsetting South Sydney in this game we're about to watch. So if they're going to do that, and a big performance for Matty Lodge. So I'm going to go with watching Matt Lodge today.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll get back to that game. Obviously, that's a 3 o'clock kickoff. Just go back to that Dragons and Titans game, James. There are obviously, because of suspensions, there are some changes to that Dragons team. Young Jaden Sullivan. Now, he hasn't had a chance. He had a shot last year, very late in the season. A small body, but an imaginative kind of player. What do you like about him?
Oh, look, he's one of those players that can do things that most people can't. He's just got a love of the game and he can sidestep. He's got pace. He's got deception. And he's got an incredible future ahead of him if he manages to stay fit. Unfortunately, injury has sort of hampered his early stage of his career. So, yeah, really looking forward to him getting his chance. And, you know, with Corey Norman moving on next year, it looks like there's going to be a spot open in the number six jersey. There's a couple of options there. Jack Baird, Adam Clune, young Jaden Sullivan, Amone. So lots of options. And, you know, Jaden Sullivan knows what the future holds. He's a talented kid. He's got lots of confidence. Terrific young character. He'll be looking to cement his spot and just show Coach Anthony Griffin what he's made of, and not to go out in the market and try and get a number six. He'll want that jersey, and he'll want to keep it for the foreseeable future, the next decade at the Dragons.
There's still a few of those games in terms of the bottom of the eight, or the coveted fifth and sixth spots as well. that's one of them.
Well, Parramatta have already... They're trying to lose games so that they can finish fifth or sixth.
They're tanking. Too smart.
Exactly. Well, the battle continues, doesn't it? Yeah. I'm with Rudy. I like the Warriors against the Rabbitohs. I obviously would have liked more if Tuivasa-Sheck was playing, but we've seen a lot of close games this week, which has been a breath of fresh air, hasn't it? And this has been the weekend where the top eight play the bottom eight.
Yep.
Now, we kind of think sometimes coming out of Origin, there might be a little bit of a hangover with some of the elite players in regards to, you know, the physical and mental battle that they've been through over the last 6 to 8 weeks. But really enjoyed them. And I think the three games this afternoon can all be relatively close if the Broncos can find something against the Panthers. I think the Tigers have enjoyed the television coverage of late. They might find something against the Eagles. But, yeah. And the Rabbitohs against the Warriors, as I say, with RTS there, the Warriors could have given it a real shape, but I don't think they'll be far off the mark. Big, a lot of pressure on Chad Townsend, I think, in this game. He was bought for a reason, and he hasn't been at his best the last couple of weeks. He's been costly for them on a couple of occasions, and he's the player that should be leading them into better things. So be keen to see.
He got injured the first game against the Dragons, didn't he? And then he missed one. And
then he tried to kick a field goal at probably an inopportune time and just made a few errors last week.
Yeah, he did. All right, so who wins that?
I'll go the Rabbitohs, but I don't think there'll be much in it. I think the Eagles win, and I think the Panthers win, but let's hope for three close matches.
Indeed. I have to say, James Graham, brilliant performance. Thank you so much for sharing this afternoon with us.
No, thank you. Thanks for having us on.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.